So the last sugya in the sixth parak is the sugya mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, which comes up pretty clearly in the Gemara. So we'll start with just understanding the Gemara, starting back with the Mishnah. There you go, Avi. So the Mishnah talks about a case where you put money in some kind of trust fund, or you give money to someone else to hold for your daughter. And Rashi says you give the Mashash Mos Levito, we're on Samach Tesman Beis. Hamashash Mos Levito, Viyomer Es Neman. So it's a case where you put money in someone else's hand for your daughter's sake. And Rashi explains that it's there so that this person should use the money to buy a property for your daughter to have. And the situation is obviously where the person, pretty clear that it's a situation where the person died. So that's what you kind of intended to begin with. And then she says, the daughter says, Naman Bali Alai, continuing in the Mishnah, Naman Bali Alai. So she says, nah, I trust my husband, don't worry about it, Mr. Third Party, who you're taking care of my money, just let my husband have it and he'll do what's right with it. So then we have a machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, what's the din in such a case? So Rav Meir says, Yase Hashlish Mashahushosh Biyadam. Rav Meir says, no, the shlish, the third party has to do what he was supposed to do. He can't put it into the hands of the daughter, or the hands of the husband in this case. Rav Yossi Omer V'chi'ena El Asadeh V'hi Rotz L'mokra Harehi Mechura Me'achshav. Says Rav Yossi, what kind of game is this? If she wanted to, she could, let's say now, good, this third party is going to buy the land for her sake. Well, she can sell the land after that, so why force the person, the trust fund, or the trustee, to buy her a field right now when she could sell it on her own? So just give it to the husband, and she's obviously in control. So there's no reason to hold her back from kind of doing what she wants. So that's what the Mishnah says, and the Gemara discusses a little further. The Gemara points out that if they're actually nisuos, she's a married woman. So then, let's start out of order for a second. If she's a ketana, this whole argument falls away. Everyone agrees she can't do anything about it, because the whole argument to say that she should have the rights to decide where this money goes is that, well, she could sell the field. But if she's a ketana, as the Mishnah says, and the Gemara elaborates, ein ma'aseh ketana klum, she can't sell the field. So why should it be that she has any control of deciding where the funds should go? So that's what ketana. Let's put that aside. Then the Gemara says, if you have a fully married daughter, then also the halacha is that she can do whatever she wants. And Rashi explains, this one's a little different. Rashi says, and this is based on the Braisa, but if you look at the first Rashi in the Gemara, min hanisuin harishus biyada, if she's already been married, then she can do whatever she wants. She af ha'av lo ala b'dayto l'mosra b'yad shlish elajatinase d'mishinises ha'ba'al zaka elecho b'peros. So the father's intent when he put it into this trust fund was only to have it controlled by the trustee until his daughter got married. Because once the daughter gets married, so then what happens is the husband uses the property, uses whatever things she has. So the father never meant to limit it for that point. So that was never intended originally. And the Gemara ends up explaining that the Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is in a case where you have a gedola, so it's possible to argue that she could sell it. She should have some control, but min ha'erusin, she didn't fully get married, so we wouldn't say that the father didn't have in mind. So that's what the Gemara says. The Machlokas. Now, what's the Nekudas Machlokas here? What exactly are they arguing about? So the Gemara ends up saying. Rashi says it here, and the Gemara ends up saying a little bit later in the Shach V'Tarach, comes out clear that Rabbi Meir's opinion is mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. What happened? The father said to the trustee, I want you to take the money and I want you to purchase a field for my daughter. The daughter says, no, I don't want that. I want the money now. I just want to take the money. I don't want the field. Let my husband have the money and hold on to it. Says Rabbi Meir, the lashon of the Mishnah, yase shlish mashushlash biyado. Why, explains the Gemara, Rashi spells out earlier in the Gemara, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. We have a concept that there's a mitzvah to fulfill the words, but to follow the guidance of the person who has died. That's Rashi, Dibur Maschal Lachka Rimeir. The Gemara is a machlokas who we passing like. And on the Manda Amar, or if you look at the right before the two dots on Samach Testament base, Itmar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yossi Rav Amar of Nachman Halacha Ki Rabbi Meir. And Rashi there comes Halacha Rabbi Meir Taima Mishum De Mitzvah Kayim Ivrei Hames. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The question is, what's the machlokas? What does Rabbi Yossi hold? Any suggestions? So one option, you're already jumping ahead, but one option is just to reject this rule, a mitzvah kaim derei hames. So that's Tosos, points out in the first line, derei maskel hamani. So the Gemara, later the Gemara quotes a brisa that makes an assumption about mitzvah kaim derei hames, and the Gemara says that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Tosos says, yeah, because Rabbi Yossi argues. The reason the Gemara says later, if you just look at the bottom, the last line of the Gemara, the Gemara is trying to explain a particular brisa. The Gemara says, "Hamani, Rabbi Meir, this brisa is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Amar mitzvah l'kayim d'rei hames. He holds there as a concept mitzvah l'kayim d'rei hames. Says Tosos, the implication is Rabbi Yossi does not hold to that. So that is the simple understanding. Rabbi Yossi holds there's no mitzvah l'kayim d'rei hames, and therefore, what's wrong with letting the daughter should be in control. She should say what to do with the funds." And Rabbi Meir holds there's a concept of Zakan Jibreme. Since the father said that he wanted the funds dealt with in a certain way, we have to go that direction. Anybody have any problems with that explanation? You buy that? That's Rabbi Yossi holds? There's no concept of Zakan Jibreme? Tosos has a problem with that. Very good. So Tosos has a problem. Tosos says, the next line, considering that Tosos on the bottom of Samach Tasman Bays, Vitema, I don't understand. Elais lay, if Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold the mitzvah kaim divrei hames, lamalei lameimar lo yehei ela sada. Why does he have to start going on? Well, what do you mean? Obviously, she has control. She could sell the field if she wants to. Well, mitzvah time of a high, going off on this reason, tepeklei mishum de leis lay mitzvah kaim divrei hames. He should just say there's no concept of a mitzvah kaim divrei hames. So the Tosas answers Shema l'dvarav Rabbi Meir kamar. Maybe Rabbi Yossi was just taking on within Rabbi Meir's thinking, saying even though you hold mitzvah kaim divrei hames, well, I'll still give you another reason to override mitzvah kaim divrei hames because she should be in control. Because if she wanted to, she could just sell it tomorrow. So why go through the whole process of buying the field now? So that's what the Tosas says. So the pashas then is that Rabbi Meir would still say, even though I have all that nice reasoning, mitzvah l'kayim d'rei hames overrides that. So that's a possibility. And even though Tosas doesn't say this, if you look at source number one, the Rashba says explicitly, as v'asikna d'begdola min ha'erusin pligi, the machlokas is in gdola min ha'erusin, as we said before, and meir savar afal bi shigdola maaseh ha'kayam, even though she could do something in general, ha'cha mishu mitzvah l'kayim d'ir ha'meis, yasa shushma shush b'yado, since mitzvah l'kayim d'ir ha'meis, it overrides, and we say that the person should do what he's supposed to do, v'rabi yosi savar kevan shigdola miyad nisurokna z'chus ha'nechasim l'bas u'mocheres v'noseres v'kayam. So says Rabbi Yossi, no. Since once she's a gdola, she can sell. I mean, it's her property, really. It was just the father said that he wanted something else done with it. But really, once she becomes a gdola, it kind of goes into her control, and therefore she would sell. The Pnei Yisrael points out even a little difficult. The Gemara said Hamani Remeri. Right, the Gemara seemed to imply there's a machlokas about mitzvah kaim divrei hames at the bottom. The Gemara said, who's the one who holds mitzvah kaim divrei hames? That's Rabbi Meir. Implication of Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold mitzvah kaim divrei hames. So Pnei Yeshua says that that's explicit Rabbi Meir holds. It's clear Rabbi Meir's reason is mitzvah kaim divrei hames. Rabbi Yossi, we can have this discussion back and forth. Either he really agrees and just argues because of the koach of the daughter, or he clearly rejects the concept of mitzvah kaim divrei hames. And you have to say the Dvar of Rabbi Meir come out. So Rabbi Yossi's opinion is not as clear, but Rabbi Meir certainly holds what he holds. Now the Pnei Yoshua, so we have, so it's a machlokas, how to understand Rav Meir, machlokas, Rabbi Yossi, and comes down to machlokas whether there is a machlokas about the concept of mitzvah kaim de remes. Right, so we have our Mishnah, and two ways to understand the Mishnah. The Pnei Yoshua, he likes the Rashba. He doesn't quote the Rashba. There's a Ran. The Ran in the back quotes both possibilities. The Pnei Yoshua brings a Raya from a Gemara Gittin. Source number three. If you look at source number three, the Gemara says the following. The leaving aside all the details that the Gemara is dealing with there, the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Halacher of Shimon HaNasi. I, the high Kaim Alon, the Gemara asks the question, how could you say that Shimon HaNasi? Again, leaving me out the details of what that has to do with, but he says it's a problem because Divrei Shchimirah Kiksuvim Mesurim Damu. We have a concept that Divrei Shchimirah, if a person is deathly ill, and says that he wants his property passed on to someone else. So that works. Even if you didn't actually make the go through the formal kinyan. Usually when you want to sell something, you have to make some kind of kinyan. The Shchimirah speaks and says, okay, I'm just going over to someone else. So that works. And I think that the halachic will, if I'm not mistaken, works through that. Is that true? It says, when I become a Shchimirah, that's going to take place. I'm not 100% sure about that. I think it might be. But anyway, that's a way to basically avoid Yerusha, or you can just make kinyanim. The Gemara says that if a person is deathly ill and he really wants to give his property over to someone else, he just can't get out of bed to make the kinyan. So the Gemara in Bava Basra says we're worried that if we don't, he gets too agitated if we don't allow him to make this deal, so he might die sooner. And so to avoid that, we allow him to transfer things just by speaking. So that's the halacha. So Rav Yosi Muki La Bibari. So the Gemara says, okay, that'll be a case where it's a bari where the person is healthy, and if a person, again, the details there are something about transferring nechasim, but the case is where it's a bari, and therefore we wouldn't say that just by speaking you could transfer it over. And that's an important point we're going to come back to in a minute, that the concept of Divrei Shchimirah is, like we said, only person who's deathly ill. If you're alive and well and healthy, you can't move your properties without doing a kinyan. And then the Gemara asks the question, V'holi yorshe mishaleach kamar v'kaim lan mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. So the Gemara asks the question on this, well, we hold mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. And the Gemara gives an answer. Okay, we'll change up the words. So, and Pnei Yoshua, why did the Gemara just say, okay, maybe he holds like Rabbi Yossi, maybe he holds we don't say mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. Why is it such a, it's not a bomb question to ask, it's not a bomb kasha to ask, oh, mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. It's a machlokas mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. So the Pnei Yoshua says, it seems to be from the Gemara and Gittin that really mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames is accepted across the board. That's the Pnei Yoshua's raya. Any dechia for the raya? Yeah, it would have been our Gemara. Where does the Gemara say that? Hakayim Lan Kremeir, right, so that's a pashtus, yeah. So that's what the riff points out here in the back. We pass like Rabbi Meir, why? Because we saw before it's Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Meir, Halacha Rav Nachman Bedini. So we pass like Rabbi Meir, the Halacha Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes. So even though it might be Machlokas, the Gemara wants to make the Amoraim over there fit in with the Halacha. So that's so no Raya in terms of how to Paskin. I mean, sorry, in terms of how to no rise from the Gemara that either side is right. And again, we hold like Rabbi Meir, so it's just a question, and she just Rabbi Yossi, if they're a Cholkim, Lamaisa, we hold like Rabbi Yossi, there's a concept, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes. Now we're going to come back to why, later, why this should be. Now the question, all the Rishonim are bothered by, is something that we just alluded to a little bit. There's two principles. And there's one principle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes that we're talking about, and there's another principle we just mentioned, of Matna Shchimim Rake Ksuvim Mesurim Damo. That if you're a person who's deathly ill and you say, I transfer money, so that works. And now, Tosos here, now we turn to Tosos on Ayin Amud Aleph, top Tosos. Tosos says, HaKayim Alon Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes. So Tosos says, Afilu Bibari, Kayim Alon Hachi. Kedemuchach B'Shilei Perakamit. Again, that Gemara over there that we just saw show clearly once we move to a healthy person, that's when we ask about mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. So even in a healthy person, we have the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Again, that we are supposed to do, we're supposed to fulfill the wishes of a person who has died. Okay, now why do you need the principle of divrei shlimer k'suvim m'surim dam? I mean, if you're always supposed to do what the dead person says, why do you need a rule that you can transfer things through Amira? You always have to transfer them because you have to listen to the wishes of the person who died. So that's the question. That's all the Rishonim here ask. So, any Tibetan? So Tosos has two answers. So before we get to Tosos, well, let's just see the Ritva. So the Ritva, and it's the Ritva here as well, and a little more elaborates a little about a little more in Bava Basra. The Rishonim discuss it in Bava Basra, and also in Gittin and Daf Yud Gimel, where these concepts get brought up. So the Rishonim raise this issue about why you need two principles. So the Ritva says the following: you need three conditions for mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. Omer Rabbeinu de la'olam lo amrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames el k'sheish gimel bo gimel dvar. Three conditions, that's what's needed for mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. By the way, these halachas are very relevant for, like I was saying before, for inheritance situations where you want to, there's big discussion about halachic will or how to, because, you know, according to the Torah, so your properties go to the Yershin, so there's halachas of Yerusha. But nowadays, the modern sensitivity, so we most of the time don't want to follow exactly the halachas of Yerusha. We want our daughters, let's say, to get some of the Yerusha. So how do we avoid basically doing this? Or how do we, you know, you're not allowed to ignore Yerusha. The halacha is that, you know, it's an isser to go against what the principles of Yerusha are. So you have to kind of come with a loophole to avoid it. So these sugyas of mitzvah kaim divirmeis, ma'am eshchimira, are the background of that whole discussion. So this machlokes Rishonim we're about to see is very relevant when it comes to this issue in terms of when we would say mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, and potentially that might be able to override halachas of Yerusha. Now, so the Ritva says in order to say mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, you need three things to be true. Number one, ha'echad she'ino rotze lasos me'atzvo ela shemitzav el'acherim. He doesn't want to do it on his own. Rather, he is assigning it to someone else. Okay, so v'hainu d'bemat neshchemira mitzav v'machos misa. It's another concept. Lo chashu l'mitzvah l'kayim d'remes. D'kayim d'amar nasati oni nosen kach o yitol ploni kach harei osam yato. Situations where he is saying that the stuff should be transferred over. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where you told someone else to do something. And then he says, "L'fichach tzarish yomer b'lashon tzava." The whole point here is where you commanded, you told someone what to do. Go tnu o asu utinasino dahu nami tzava la'achirim mashma k'davina l'meimar. So, like we're trying to say that it's a case where you're telling someone what to do. So that's principle number one. Now it's not just saying that this is what should happen. He's saying, telling someone to do. Number two, v'yinan sha'osam acherim sativil hem yehei sipek b'yodam lasos. So let's say you tell someone to do something, right? Person dying, and he not even dying. Person is alive and well. So I ask Ariel, for example, to take my car and do whatever with my car. So he has no shaychus to my car. So he has no imperative to try to fulfill my will because it's totally out of his ability to do so. He says, what are the cases? It's got to be a situation where it's in the rishus of the person you're commanding. Therefore, so it's going to be with Yorshim because anytime you have inheritors, so they're automatically, it's going to be in their possession. They'll have control of the properties. Or if it's a case where, you know, let's say I gave Ariel my car beforehand, so then now it makes sense to have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, right? And therefore, it's not going to work with land because I can't give Ariel, you can't hold land in your rishus. That's, if you remember, Vasra, Chazkas Avatim, it's all about how you don't have mukzakus on land. So I can't be that there's any land that I'm giving over to someone. So that's another limitation. It's got to be specifically to someone who has the ability to do something with it. And condition number three says the Ritva, he doesn't include the third one, but it could be he combines it with the first one, I'm not sure. Uba'ina nami sh'osam tzitzivilhem kiblu alayhem oshasku. It has to be that when you told a person, so they accepted upon themselves, or they at least didn't say anything, and then they were basically shtika goda, as he says. So those are the conditions for mitzvah kind of remes. Already, you may see, I think he's against something we've seen. What? So our Mishnah talks about karka. No, our Mishnah is talking about mos. And it's buying karka. So it's true, it's a shtickle kasha that in the Mishnah, I mean, we're saying the daughter has an obligation in mitzvah kaim divrei hames. Chora. That's what we're saying. So So let's go back to. So I skipped out on something. I have the Tosa Rush and Mar Makomas here. So what was the argument back? We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi holds. The daughter. If you want, she could sell it. So we don't have to force. We don't have to say that she basically has control, because if she wants, she could sell it, right? Again, let's just get back into the picture over there. The father has money. He gives it to a trustee. He tells the trustee, when I die, use that money, buy land for my daughter. So she has basically, she's set. That's the setup. And what does the daughter want now? The daughter says, I don't want that money spent right now. I want my husband to hold on to the money. He'll buy it when he sees fit. Right? What's the argument to say she could say that? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have the trustee buy the land now. Well, she could just turn around and sell it. I mean, once the trustee buys the land, it's hers, so she could sell it. So what are you accomplishing? That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Okay? So what's pshat then with Rabbi Meir? I kind of I glossed over this before, but here we have an important distinction. So Ariel, you just said that the pshat Rabbi Meir is, well, that trustee has to do what he was told. The trustee was told he has to buy her land, and there's no way around it. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So that's one possibility. But if you look at the Tosas HaRosh, and it's really Tosas here on the page. Tosas HaRosh just adds Tosas on the page. Look at Tosas on the page here. Divrei maskil v'chi. So that's going on Rabbi Yossi's argument. She could sell the land. Rabbi Meir Savar De'ina Yechol Alimochro. She cannot sell the land. And continues the Tosa Rush, source number two. Why? She can't sell an Erisin Mishum de Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames. Sounds like she has the Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames. And since she has a Mitzvah, so she can't sell it, so the whole argument falls apart. So there seems to be, according to Tosos, certainly Tosa Rush, that mitzvah kind of remes goes even beyond. It's kind of, if you're aware of what the person wants with his money, you have an obligation to see to it that it be done. It's not so much as a direct kind of command that you have to do it, but a general awareness. So that seems to be opinion of Tosa Rush. The Ritva obviously does not hold that way. So that's one interesting distinction. So that's the opinion of the Ritva. Tosfos comes up with two other very important points. And Tosfos says the following. Five lines down in Tosfos here. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the lo amrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames ela k'shehushlosh mitchilo l'kach. Says Rabbeinu Tam, this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that you only say this concept, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, you have to follow through on what the person's wishes were if it was put already aside in someone else, in, you know, with the trustee. But let's say a person is, well, a person's alive, and says, "I want my properties to be divided up so and so, in such such a way." That's insignificant to Sosos. There's no, you have no obligation, no mitzvah kaim devremes, no obligations towards that request. Again, if it's a person who's dying, so that's his contrasting. It's a matnas shemira. If he says he wants it transferred, so it's transferred. But if a person is a healthy person, he's trying to do mitzvah kaim devremes, so then this would not work. So matnas shemira, if you do it in that way, that would work even in a case where it's not handed over to a trustee. That's what Tosfos is saying, okay? And we'll get back to the reason for that. That seems to be strange. Like, why should that be? Sounds like there's generally supposed to fill the wishes of the person who died. What difference does it make? Inam says Tosfos, Davka b'meis nosein b'chaye mekabel. Sorry, Davka b'meis nosein b'chaye mekabel. When it comes to matnas shemira, so when it comes to mitzvah kaim divrei meis, it only applies when the giver dies first, right? If Reuven says that he wants his properties to go to Shimon, and then Shimon dies before Reuven, so then it never happens, because it's the death of Reuven, it's the death of the giver that kicks in this mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, as it says. It's the dead person, you're supposed to fulfill the dead person's wishes. So if it never comes to fruition because the receiver dies first, so then we have no, there's no concept of mitzvah kind of divrei hames. Continues Tosfos, aval divrei shemira b'chol in kemisurim damu. Divrei shemira is always given over. So even if, let's say, Reuven says, "Okay, my properties go to Shimon," and they're going to go at his death, but they go to Shimon or to Shimon's estate. They're completely transferred at this, I guess it goes back to this moment. It's interesting exactly how this works, but they're completely transferred over to the receiver. So when the mitzvah came to remes, so if the receiver dies first, then never kicks in. So Gemara clearly has a distinction in Gittin, which we'll get back to that distinction. We'll quote that Gemara again. So what?
Like the Yorshim.
Correct, the Yorshim would step in and come. So we. Yeah, any kinyan make to someone, and the person dies. Okay, so these are the answers. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger jumps up and says, and maybe, well, let's see. I would have thought maybe of a much simpler distinction between these principles. Like we've been saying, when we talk about matnas chimera, that's a kinyan, that's a transfer of properties from one person to the next, by saying it. Does mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames sound like that? Doesn't sound like a kinyan. So that's what Akiva Eiger here points out right on this Tosfos. He quotes Tosfos, and then he says, Yesh Lomar, the first line. Sorry, he goes by quoting the Nafka Mina, but well, let's read Akiva Eiger in a second. We'll see his Nafka Mina, but basically what Akiva Eiger is saying is that there's a very easy distinction. The easy distinction is that mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, if you say, a person says, "I want my properties to divide it up so in such a way," there's no transfer of funds at that point. So they're just, hey, we're supposed to do it that way. Let's say something would happen to in the interim before you got to that point where you transferred it. Okay, so that would work. As opposed to matnas divrei shemira suvim suvim damu, when you say it, what do the words mean? Kiksuvim musurim damu. It's like you transferred it over. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. And the truth is that it's already found in the Tosos Shans. If you look at the Piskei Tosos in the back of the Gemara, for those who have, I think, even the small Gemaras have Piskei Tosos, if I'm not mistaken. Do you have it, Danny? Nothing. Uh-huh. So in Os Reish Mem Aleph in the Piskei Tosfos, so first they quote here. It's usually just a kitzer of Tosfos, but sometimes they bring in outside things. So after quoting Tosfos, it says in the second paragraph, Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, kofin hayershim. When you say Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, if that's right after the Gemara, the Piskei Tosfos, Fima, So if so he says that when it comes to mitzvah kind of erase, so we basically force the yarshim. We say to them, you know, they should be you should be doing what he said. You have him at the, yeah, for me it's Rishon Malach, right at the end of the parak. Mitzvah kind of remains kofen. Starts paragraph, starts mitzvah. Second paragraph.
Oh, okay.
First he just quotes Tosfos. He says, Aval hamakabel lo zocha b'chevetz. But the person, the receiver, he still does not get, he doesn't acquire it yet. Im hayisoy masnu la'acher. Let's say, right, let's say person says he wants the property divided in a certain way. And, okay, the person dies. Nothing happens. And then in the interim, the Yisomim go ahead and they give it away as a gift. Says the Tosfos Shantz, that works. But the Matan Shchimira, it goes automatically to the person he said to give it to, and therefore, if the Yorsha try to give it away to someone else, so then the receiver of the gift can go ahead and take it. If it's still in existence, he can go it, take it itself. If not, he can get it paid back in whatever way he wants. So it's really a Tosfos Shantz that's quoted here in the Pesukei Tosfos. And that, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger thinks, is the clearest and easiest distinction between these two. And he also quotes this Nafka Mina. He has another Nafka Mina as well. The Ram Gin has another interesting Nafka Mina, is the following. He says, let's say the Yorshim are Ketanim, right? So a person dies young, he has little kids. So if it's a mitzvah that the kids have to do, so the kids are not chayav in mitzvah, they're not bnei mitzvah. What do you mean? The kids are going to do the mitzvah to fill the father's will? They don't do mitzvahs. But if it's a halacha that there's a kinyan, there's a transfer of funds through this statement, so then it happens automatically. It happens against their will. So that the Ran and Gideon also points out, the Ran doesn't say it so explicitly, but the Achronim are Madai from that Ran and Gideon also, he's pointing out this distinction similar to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Rabbi Chanan and Baba Basra in the Kovetz Yerim says, he, obviously Tosfos did not hold to this distinction. It seems clear from the fact that Tosfos asked this question, Tosfos assumed the mitzvah of the Kayim Divrei Meis is also a kinyan. So this seems to be a fundamental machlokas about how to understand mitzvah of Kayim Divrei Meis, and the Achronim talk about this machlokas, whether it is just merely a mitzvah or it is a kinyan. There's some type of kinyan in there. How do we paskin on this machlokas? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a parenthetical point where he's mitzayin a Ramah, and the Ramah in source number 6 says, if you look three lines down by the test over there, the Ramah says, Kol davar shenikdim b'matan shchimira, anything that's acquired b'matan shchimira, im kadmu hayorshim umachu, if the yorshim got up and tried to sell it, hamakabel yochel hotzio min halokeach, they can't do that, and therefore the person who's receiving the gift, he can go take it away from the lokeach. Aval davar shalom nitan b'matana, something was not actually given as a matana, rak shem mitzave or shem mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, it's just a mitzvah you're supposed to do with the meis wanted. Im kadmu hayorshim umachru masha asu. Also, if the Yorshim went ahead and sell, whatever they did counts. And this sounds like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that we have a distinction between kinyan and just merely a mitzvah. So that seems to be how we should paskin on this child. However, the Machan Ephraim points out there's a big problem here. The Machan Ephraim in Hilchos Zechiah, Simon Chaf Tes. And we have a Gemara in Gittin that seems to contradict this idea. The Gemara in Gittin seems to indicate that we would say that there's a kinyan accomplished through mitzvah kaim divrei hameis. And we're going to have to sharpen our understanding in order to deal with this issue. So the Gemara in Gittin says the following, source number 7. First it says, Holech mana leploni. I say to Matthew, take these $100, go give it to FEMA. Oh, not, we won't do FEMA, that's not a good one. But Matthew, I say, go give it to Ploni. You'll see in a second why. Matthew, give it to Ploni. And Matthew goes around looking for him, and he finds Pliny's not around, he's died. So Tani Chada, one, and the situation where the sender also dies. It's a situation of potentially mitzvah kind of remes. So he says, so what happened? So Tani Chada Yachzur l'mishaleach. Oh no, I haven't necessarily died. So Tani Chada Yachzur l'mishaleach. So one opinion is Matthew should just bring it back to me. Okay, you didn't find the guy. V'tani idach, in another brisa, liyorshe mishenishtal kulo. So, no, Matthew, you can't find Pliny. Okay, go find Pliny's relatives. Go find his inheritors. The Gemara has a whole bunch of tirutzim, but one of them, Rav Papa Amar, ha v'ha b'dbari. Either case is a case where the sender is healthy. It's not a shchid mirah situation. Ha demis mekabel v'chayinosein. If the Pliny died while the sender is still alive, so then, and we never kicked in mitzvah time divrei hames, because the person, like we said before, if the receiver dies first, so that kind of, you know, the whole thing falls apart, right? He's not there to say we should say mitzvah time divrei hames. But ha demis nosim b'chayim akaba. Let's say the person, I sent it with Matthew to go give it to Pliny, and then I die before the next thing happens is I die, and then the other guy dies. So the Rashi explains what the Gemara is basically saying is that, well, my death has already kicked in some kind of obligation to give the Mekabel, and therefore even if the Mekabel dies before he receives it, so it goes to his Yarshim, because it's as if he already was Zochan. That sounds very kidding oriented. If it's just a mitzvah, and we were saying before, the mitzvah should only apply for the original person, so how does this make any sense? It seems to be more than merely a mitzvah here. Right? If it's a mitzvah, then good. So I died, so now I've kicked in Matthew's obligation to list my words and give it to Pliny. But then Pliny dies. So why should it go? I never said it should go to the Yarshim, I said it should go to Pliny. So why is there a mitzvah that kind of remains? And Rashi says explicitly there in getting this, it's because Pliny was zocha on it through my death. How does that fit? So we have on the one hand the halacha that if you tell your inheritors, I want you to do X with my money. If you die, it doesn't necessarily kick anything in monetarily, because if the Yerushim go ahead and sell it, they sell it. But in the case where I send it with Matthew, so somehow there, it does go to the, there is some kind of claim already that the inheritors of the Pliny, of the other person I'm sending to, have. Now we're going to resolve this sack of the Ramah with a Gemara Gid. So the Machane Ephraim asks Kasha. So there are two ways you can go. You can either show a distinction between these cases, or show why our understanding of that original psach was not quite as we expected. So the Machane Ephraim takes the approach that there's two different cases. And the Machane Ephraim says, when do we say there's a kinyan? That's when you give it to someone else. When I hand it over to Matthew, so that is basically saying, I'm here, Matthew, acquired on behalf of the other person. But if I'm just telling my children, okay, here's what I want you to do, guys, since nothing's happening, there's no transfer taking place, so there's no kinyan taking place. There it's merely to say, you're telling them, okay, well, this is what I want you to do. But there's no monetary transfer in that situation. That's a Machane Ephraim's distinction. It's just depending on how, what the case, am I giving it to someone else? Meaning, since I'm transferring the money to you anyway, so that transfer kicks in a kinyan to the next party. But when it's just I tell you and I don't have any transfer, I'm just telling my Yerushim, so in that case we don't have any kinyan, and that's what the Ramah is talking about, according to Hagos Mordechai. Birchas Avraham doesn't like Birchas Avraham. Gittin has a whole piece about mitzvah kaim divrei hames. He doesn't like it because this seems to be a pretty fundamental distinction. You expect to find this in earlier sources. And therefore, he suggests a different understanding of what we said originally. That when we say it's a mitzvah, what does it mean it's a mitzvah? What does it mean that a person tells his relatives, okay, here's what I want you to give this to, you know, Plony Almoni. I gotta think of a good name. But I want to give you to, you know, to Mr. Goldberg. I want my stuff to go to Mr. Goldberg, right? So how do you understand that? So says we were presuming before that it's totally in the hands of the Yershim, and they should go ahead and do what the father asked. Says the Birkas Abraham, maybe not. Maybe by making that statement, it's true, I haven't transferred anything to Mr. Goldberg, but I've opened the door for Mr. Goldberg to come and claim for my children money. And I've given him the right to come claim money for my children. Now, if they go ahead and sell the property, well, there's nothing left for Mr. Goldberg to get, so that's okay. He can claim from today till tomorrow, but the children don't have anything. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. If they don't have anything, they're not going to give them. So that's the Rambam. However, in the case with Matthew before, what happened? I gave Matthew $1,000 to give to Mr. Goldberg. And what happens? So at that point, I open the door that Mr. Goldberg can come to me or to my shliach, to Matthew, and claim $1,000. Let's say he dies. That right to claim $1,000 gets passed on to his yarshim. So now his children inherit the right to claim $1,000. It's not that they own the money yet. The money's not theirs, but the right to claim they still have. So now they'll come to Matthew and they will claim $1,000. They'll just take their father's claim. That's what I'm suggesting. This time, Devar Meis, even taking the side that it's a mitzvah, it doesn't just mean it's in the hands of Matthew, the shliach, or my children to do my will, but by saying that it should be given to Mr. Goldberg, Lamashal, that gives him the right to come claim money. Correct, exactly. And it's not a schus gevia on the mammon, because then that wouldn't explain the ramah. Because if it's a schus gevia on the mammon itself, so then even if I sell it, if there's a shibud on the mammon, even if the yarshim would sell it, so then you can just go claim it. So it's a shibud aguf. It's a schus gevia on the guf of the shliach, or really the nosein, and then through his shliach or through his yarshim. Right, well, because Shibud Aguf is not Shibud Nechassim. So he has no rights to those Nechassim. He has a right to claim that amount from the person. That's the suggestion. But even going in the other direction, to say that it's a Kinyan, right? We said the assumption of Tosa seems to be that it's a Kinyan. Does it really, I mean, we said before, Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis doesn't really sound like a Kinyan. It sounds like just the proper thing to do is do what the mace wants. And we have a Gemara in Ginn also where it talks about mitzvah kaim dvar mace, and it's clearly not in the context of Kinyan. If you see, turn over to source number 8. Yazar Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan Misha Amar b'shas misa. So a person says that it's time of his death. Plonis shivchasi koras ruach asali. My maidservant, she really was very good to me. Yasala Koras Ruach, please do kindness to her. I think the assumption is that they should free her. So the Gemara Kofen as the Yorshim Vosala Koras Ruach. So we force the Yorshim to treat her nicely. Ask the Gemara my time. Mitzvah Lakayim Divrei Hameis. Mitzvah Lakayim Divrei Hameis. Tosfos said Mitzvah Lakayim Divrei Hameis is a form of Kinyan, according to Tosfos. How does that fit? This has nothing to do with Kinyan. This sounds more like we're saying before. You should just do what the person asks. This is the kasha the Achronim. The Achronim ask on the camp of Rishonim that seem to hold that there's a Kinyan here. So the again the Birchas Avram there in Ginn suggests that the following. He suggests that really fundamentally it's a mitzvah. And this is going to help us when we get to the reason in a moment. Fundamentally, it's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah time to remes. Chazal wanted you. Let's jump right to the Tashbetz and source I'll read from you what Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in Parashas Vayechi. He says the following: Midas ha-musar v'hatzedek. It's the proper and ethical way. Sheyaseh ritzono shel adam b'mamono. That you should do what a person wants with his money. A person wants his money to be handled in a certain way. It's the proper thing to follow. It's his money, so the proper thing is to follow his request. The kavu kach lehalacha. The mitzvah of the kaid d'remes was just a setting down of that really ethical thing to do anyway, to do what a person wants, you know, fulfill the wishes of a person when it comes to his money. That's what Rasher Weiss says is the reason behind this halacha we've been talking about, mitzvah kaid d'remes. But says the Berachas Avram, so what does that do with kinyanim? So the question then is, what did Chazal do when they wanted to ensure that this would happen? So we said before, it could be just a mitzvah, but maybe we added that it's a shibur haguf, that it's a right to claim. And the Berachas Avram says, according to some Rishonim, it's just even a step further. Because of this mitzvah, so they instituted that there would be a kinyan that would take place. But it's not that it's fundamentally a kinyan, it's fundamentally a mitzvah. And therefore, let's say you have a Gemara Gidin where there's no kinyan that's shayach, you're talking about just doing something for the shivcha, so of course the concept applies. Because fundamentally the concept is a mitzvah. Fundamentally it's just doing the proper thing, just fill the request of the person who's now passing on. It's just that when it's possible to have a kinyan, so it translates into being a kinyan. And so the Lashon also mitzvah b'kayim divrei ha-meis, because fundamentally that's what it is, a mitzvah b'kayim divrei ha-meis. Okay, yeah. Tosos was talking about a Kenyan situation. Tosos is asking why you need Dirish Chimira. Doesn't Mitzvah Kaim Dirish Meis cover every Matmish Chimira? So that is not going to help us answer that question. We still have to come up with Tosos other answers, but it is going to help us understand fundamentally what it is. Now, okay, very good. So we said we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that needs to be Biyad Shlish. Why should it have to be Biyad Shlish? Why does it have to be that it only works? If you look at the Shulchan Aruch back, we said 4 and source 6, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, Afilu Bari Shetzivo Meis, person who's healthy and commands something and died, you have to listen to him. V'hu Shenosno Achshav L'Shlish L'Shem Kach. It has to be that he first put it aside with the trustee. And then he goes on about how you be yado kodem below shem kach, or shabol yado akar tzava. If the trustee, the third party, had the money before, and or he got the money afterwards, it doesn't work. It has to be in this process, you putting it aside and giving it to him for this purpose. Why should that be? Why should it have to be yad shlish? Any suggestions? When I first saw this, I just couldn't understand why this should be of any significance. If there's a mitzvah kaim d'vrei meis, like we said before, the proper thing to do, what you're supposed to do with his money, who cares? Why does that be able to do it? Well, then I could say that, you know, why do you, we're not going to say that if you have no shaykhus here, that you have a mitzvah. Why should we force you to get? You have to get involved in something that's not really so easy for you to get involved in. It sounds like he's not even including Gershon. But or even not. The Rama says he even had the stuff before. Right? I lent Ariel my car. The car is, he has the car. So now I want to say I'm going to say what to do with it. It doesn't work. Another kasha is that the Shulchan Aruch, a few simanim earlier, in source number 9, quotes the same idea, Bari Sha'amar, Kisvu Tanu Mana Laploni, write up a star and give this mana to Ploni. Ein Nosin Bi Yapikocha, okay, you don't give it, fine. All these details, and then he says, if you just said that, it's no good. Aval mamar tnu v'lo amar kisvu. If you just said second line, if you just said give it, you didn't say write it. No se mishum mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Then we kick in mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. V'yesh omrim de lo amrin mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Ela hecha de at b'sei biyachlish. Suddenly we have a machlokas. It's just a yesh omrim whether we say biyachlish. So how does this fit? So in the footnote of the Ritva, he says that in the footnote of the Ritva in Bava Basra, which is the same as the footnote of the Rashba here, which I've enjoyed this year, Rav Ilan. So he hears Mitzayan himself in Bava Basra, in the Ritva. So there he suggests the following. He suggests that really both tracks are true of what we said so far. You can have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis in a Kenyan sense, and you can have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis not in a Kenyan sense. He says, if it's in a Kenyan, so then, along the lines of Nachan Ephraim said earlier, if it's a Kenyan, it has to be biyad shlish. And it has to be, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, l'shem kach. Not enough that the person had it before, but it has to be l'shem kach. Why? Because there has to be some kind of maisa Kenyan taking place. So when I, like we said before, when I give the money over to Matthew, so through giving it over to Matthew, he basically acquires it on behalf of the other person. That's the mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, that's a kinyan. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about in Siman Reish Nun Beis, where he requires, it's certain that he requires a shlish. And that's the role of a shlish. And that will be Tosos l'shitaso, because Tosos, we wanted to say, holds it's a kinyan. And it's a kinyan through giving it to a shlish. However, in Siman Reish Nun, the Mechaber is not saying you're not necessarily going with the kinyan route. You can also have, like we said before, a mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. You just tell him, this is what I want you to do. This is the appropriate thing to do, is to follow his will. Why then would you need a shlish? Well, let's say I say, yeah, I want you to give $1,000 to Mr. Goldberg. So who knows if am I really serious about this? I want you to give $1,000 to Mr. Goldberg. Maybe I'm just joking around, I'm being nice. Who knows if I'm serious? So maybe then, well, if I put it into a trust, a trust fund, that it should be given over to Mr. Goldberg, obviously I'm very serious about this. I'm not just throwing out words, I'm actually taking action and doing something about it. So then it's very serious. So that's in Siman Reish Nun, where it has to be beyond, so that's a machlokas. So, okay, you don't necessarily have to say that. Maybe you'll say, no, we're not worried that I'm not saying it seriously. That's what we can discuss. But that would be the other role of the shlish, that's Siman Reish Nun. In that case, it doesn't have to be a transfer right now for this purpose. It just has to be some expression of seriousness. So there's an expression of seriousness, so then it would be okay. It would be enough, and you don't have to actually have it for this purpose right now to transfer over the money. So that seems to be, that's how the Ritva, the footnote in the Ritva, works out how these work, that really we have both concepts, mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Just to close, there's a Medrash HaGadol that says on by Yaakov Avinu, it says after he tells him to go bury him in Eretz Canaan, so the pasuk says Vayasu banav lo kein kasher tzivam, that his sons did for him as he commanded. Zok the medrash mikan mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames by Yaakov Avinu. Food for thought. The Achronim, as I have here in source number 11, say that it only applies to money. That's what we said before about. It's your money. But the Tashbei says, you don't become like the Gadol, like a Navi or a Gadol Dor, that all of a sudden, now I'm dying, okay, I can say whatever I want. I say that you should move all the desks in this room outside. Mitzvah Katan Dura Mace, you should move all the desks around. So the Tashbei says, no, it doesn't make any sense. It's my money, that's the proper thing to do. So why is it that, but burying, that wasn't the money, that was burying him. So why should that apply? And likewise, the Sma Paskins in source number 12, that if a person says he doesn't want his pagan, so mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, and he shouldn't be masked him. So that, you can think about that. Rav Asher Weiss deals with that in his piece in Parashas Vayechi. If we say it's only din mamonos, which makes sense based on the svara we said before, why should it be that kvura has anything to do with it, and why should it be that he say not to be masked me, that also is a din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis.